That's right. We are back. Are you excited to be here? I'm excited to be here. 130th installment. I really just look forward to congregating with all of you, even if it is online, even if there are miles and miles between us. It is great to get together. It's great to have this fellowship. I really love sitting down having these discussions. I love this back and forth we have. I love hearing from you, the listeners. I think this show is special. So let's get right into it. Like I said, it's the 130th installment. And in case you didn't know, this show is supported financially by the voluntary support of you, the listeners. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. It is very much appreciated. If you want to be a part of that, you can find that information at the bottom of the description page. We've got snail mail. We got Bitcoin. We have Monero. And we got our email address down there. Drop me a note. If you got a weirdo cryptocurrency, let me know. I'll do my best to get you an address for that. So without further ado, let us get into the listener supporter mailbag for this week. Mr. TGPD, I look forward to Tuesdays, and so do I. Well, actually, I guess I would say I look forward to the weekend because that's when I record the show. It's like the lag for the congregation. I sit down here and do my part of the congregating on the weekends. Y'all get in on the congregating on Tuesdays. But it's good. Keep looking forward to it because we're going to keep on doing it. This is from Tony. He sends a copy of a news headline. George Floyd mural in North Toledo reduced to rubble after being... I remember reading about this, by the way. It's funny. After being struck by lightning, mayor and artists say it will be replaced. And Tony puts the note here. Looks like the mayor is willing to fight against God. It's because they have no belief in God. You know, and they call it a memorial, but it's like more of an altar, isn't it? We see all of this and they create all of these idols. You know, this is a Christian themed show in case you're new around here and don't know that. Although, you know, the name should pretty much be a dead giveaway. And we do have a Christian specific segment, a sermon, if you would, later on in the show. So you're going to find we kind of keep the Christian specific stuff in that second segment, but there's going to be a flavor sprinkled the spice in throughout the rest of the show. And they create this idolatry. It's an altar. They call it the George Floyd Memorial. It's an altar. It's an ugly altar at that, but that's fitting because it represents an ugly ideology. It's not about celebrating George Floyd. It's another altar to the anti-white race hate agenda. And I always like to say that race hate thing because that's what it is about. We get constantly accused of all this race hating. You're just haters. Of course, most of the people that believe that don't ever bother to actually listen to the show. I always imagine somebody that's like, they hear all this about all this hate, but that Radio Albie, and they just spew all of this hatred and stuff. And I imagine somebody being like, I don't know, masochistic or something. I'm going to go make myself just wallow in the darkness, the hatred on that network. And they pick up this show or any of the other shows on this network, and they're like, that's it. Where's the hatred? I'm kind of disappointed. I can picture them being like disappointed over the lack of the hatreds. But you see, their agenda is always an anti-white, and it is about race hatred. It's all projection. They call us haters. They say, you just hatred. And I've always said that, you know, I don't go through my life feeling the emotion of hate. What a horrible way to live. It is they who do that. They are the real haters. And I don't say that like, you know, the Republicans, you know, the Democrats are the real racists. I'm not saying that in some kind of, you know, stupid fashion like that. It's just a truth. They're the ones who are filled with hate and they project it upon the rest of us. We have no reason to be going around feeling an emotion of hatred. Yes, I could picture somebody being very disappointed, but no, they do. They set these altars up. These are all altars. It's all a form of idolatry, and we're surrounded by constant 24/7 idolatry. So, of course, they have no qualms. They mock the Lord and think nothing will come of it. But trust me, the whirlwind shall be reaped. This is from Tall Kevin 87. I recently found the website RadioAlbion.com. And then found your show. I am extremely grateful for finding your show. And it really motivates and inspires me when I listen to it. It really gives me hope, especially as a fellow Christian. I always tell others, and I have made these stickers. Got a sticker, pretty handy looking bumper sticker, by the way. To help advertise the website so others could find the great content. Well, I do appreciate that, and God bless your work from TallKevin87. And yeah, hey, appreciate it. And I'm glad you find the show. I always say at the beginning, if we have new listeners coming in, and I was just kind of rattle it off, if you're new around here, and I kind of explain how the show works so people know what to expect, what they're getting into before it even starts. And it is nice to hear from somebody and know that, yes, we do indeed have new listeners coming in. And the idea is that you do want to be able to, and like Tull Kevin here says, we want this site, we want this show and all of the shows here. The idea is you should be able to share this with people and not, have feel like they're going to be like, what kind of crazy site are you pointing me to? People should be able to come to this, to Radio Albion, and pick out any show here and listen to it and not feel like, they're listening to some, some craziness or something really off. I guess I want to say, I'm not saying it right, something really off-putting. We're a very inviting group here, and we really do want to present present our facts, present the truth in a way to where people can feel comfortable with sharing those things, because that's what it's all about. We seek to be an island of sanity in this crazy, crazy, insane clown world. And, it's so important not to get gaslit, because they're constantly gaslighting us. I look at for instance, the COVID propaganda they're putting around. And I was sitting here just because I will pause off and on as I record. I might have to go refill a cup of coffee. And I was pausing there for just a moment and thinking to myself, I really don't want to talk about COVID. I hate talking about this because that's it everywhere. It's all you turn TV, COVID, COVID, COVID. But I do want people to understand that you're not crazy. They're gaslighting you. They just magically came out recently and said, we've hit our goal. 70% of Americans now got the doom virus vaccine. I don't believe that shit. Don't believe it. Maybe it's so, maybe it's not, but you know that they're liars. You see, a liar might tell you the truth once in a while. The liar might spit out a fact. They won't pursue truth. Facts and truth can kind of not necessarily be synonymous. That's something we should cover one day, but it's not going to be today. They will spit facts out once in a while. But when you know somebody's a liar, if you know somebody in your life and that person is a known liar, then everything they tell you, you have to take with a grain of salt, don't you? You have to sit there and be like, well, this guy always lies. He's a compulsive liar. So you got to take whatever he says with a grain of salt. You're going to find more lies. You're going to find more bullshit than you're going to find truth. And you know people in your life like that probably have. If not, you will. If you're younger and you've never run into anybody, trust me, you will. You are going to run into people in your life that are compulsive liars. And it's a weird thing when you realize it. Because, see, a compulsive liar will lie to you about stuff that doesn't even matter. They'll sit there. You have somebody drone on and tell you a story that you don't care about. And they act like you should be really interested in it, And you're sitting there thinking to you, you're being polite. And you're like, and inside you're thinking, why are you telling me about this? I don't care. You see, you will have people that will do that. And then you'll find out that the whole thing was made up and you're scratching your head and you're like, why? I didn't care to begin with. Why make up this big BS story that I never cared about in the first place? And it turns out the whole thing was a lie. It's like you're sucking life out of me. You're just sucking my time away from me. And that's how this narrative is. They lie about everything. Oh, they're running the same file footage of the hospitals they were running a year ago. There's the people in their scrubs with the face shields and hazmat suits running around looking harried and we're peeking through the window. And this is a dramatic footage of somebody. It's the same bullshit they were showing us a year ago. Same footage. Surely the hospitals are overrun. We know this. Why? Because we're telling you, but you're a compulsive liar. You lie to us about everything. Oh, but this time it's true. I saw a deal the other day. They're openly saying, now we got to start breaking out, because I told y'all they're starting off with the carrots. Now they're fixing to whip out the sticks and they're pushing a little ahead. I was expecting it a little later in the year, fall, winter, when they got the cold and flu season to blame on the doom virus. I'm thinking now that, they're blaming this, all of this stuff, that's this Delta Doom, the Delta variant. I think this, a lot of this stuff is probably reactions from the vaccine. And they're saying it's the virus. Because, you know, they're saying the vaccine doesn't keep you from getting the virus. I'm not even sure what the selling point of the damn thing is, except now they're saying you can't go anywhere. You're not going to be able to do anything. You're basically going to go back on lockdown unless you take it. But what does it do? Well, I mean, does it keep you from ever getting sick? You're immune now from the virus? No. And now we're already talking about boosters. You remember when you was a kid and they were giving you vaccines in school? You had to go get a booster. You gave you the damn vaccine and that was that. Now you're immune to polio or whatever the hell. Now, this one's different. You see, when we were saying this one's different, that's, oh, that's misinformation. Ban them. Or conspiracy. They're spreading false information. But now they're saying it. You're going to have more shots because it doesn't actually work, but you need to take it anyway. I always say the most ridiculous conspiracy theory of all is that the government is really, really worried about your health and safety. The biggest red flag, we don't have all the information, but the biggest red flag is that they're this determined to make you take it. That should give any thinking person pause, stop, and think about. But I am loath, I say, to go on and talk about COVID. I'm so sick. I'm as sick of it as y'all are. Yeah, at the same time, it is something. This is the battering ram of the agenda. And it is part of a bigger agenda. It is a tool. You get too focused on the tool and it's easy to lose sight of the bigger agenda that's being pushed. Makes it difficult to do these shows because we talk about, the things everybody else talk about, and all we hear about is doom virus. What else? The Olympics? Is anybody watching that crap? Who cares? I've always been who cares about the Olympics, like pretty much forever. I mean, really, who pays attention? Oh boy, the U.S. just took the gold in, I don't know, some sport I didn't even know existed. There's so many. Oh, you think of the Olympics, okay. You think of track and field, pole vaulting, like spear chucking or whatever that is, the javelin. There, I was trying to remember what the hell that was called. Spear chuck. No, in the spear chucking event. No, the javelin. That's what I was trying to think. You think of those traditional Olympic events. What do we got now? It's like, oh, they took the gold in, I don't know, tiddlywinks. Woo! I didn't even know that was an Olympic thing. They took the gold in fill in the blank. There's so many Olympic events. I'm a gold medalist Olympiad. Really? What did you do? Ping pong. Olympic ping pongian. Such a great accomplishment. I was thinking of some of the Olympic events we should have. They should let us in the Olympics. I got gold and working my ass off. What about you? Hey, me too. We have to give out multiple gold medals for everybody working hard. Yes, though the working man is, of course, never going to get a gold medal. It's just part of the way it is. But Tiddlywinks, gold medal Olympiad, the Tiddlywinks. Saw a little news clip talking about the Olympics. I just catch news clips because in between of the nonstop COVID, I can't even escape the COVID on local news. That's all that's on the local news is COVID, COVID, COVID. All saying the exact same thing, this deadly virus. But they do throw a little bit here and there. And I saw something about the U.S. women's volleyball team. I think they won something, and they showed them out there. And I remember back in the day, I never cared about the Olympics, but you are aware of it. You will see it. What the hell happened with women's volleyball? Women's beach volleyball? Because I remember back in the day, if you were going to watch an Olympic sport, that's the one you want to watch. Because, them gals was fine. You believe me, like, whew. And they're out there and they're hot and they're fit and they're in shape. And then they're like, oh, the women's Olympic volleyball team. And then they show them. And it looks like the Olympic middle-aged divorced bitch team. That's what it looked like. Yeah, they flipped on the, they showed the footage, just, 30 seconds or whatever footage. And you're expecting to see hotties. And instead, it's like you're looking at a gathering of somebody, a bunch of guys' ex-wives. Ain't that right? You know what I'm talking. You're like, what the? Whoa. What the hell? They must have lifted the age limiters. But yeah, it's like, damn. That whole thing. You know, that whole thing, that meme, you know, where you're looking at a gorgeous, attractive woman, and the wise man says, just remember that out there, somewhere, there's some guy who's sick and tired of her shit. But you see the Olympic, the women's beach volleyball team, and you don't have a hard time. Somewhere out there is an ex-husband that is so, that is so glad to be done with her shit. Ah, what a disappointment. This is why we can't have nice things. We can't even have attractive beach volleyball players. Oh, and the women's soccer team, the women's soccer team. What an annoying bunch of hags. I did hear that they got knocked out. Oh, we were supposed to, oh, they had all kinds of excuses. And one thing I've not heard anybody mention about this, y'all are sitting there be like, you said you didn't care about any of this, and here you are talking about it. It's because I'm trying this hard for you, the listeners. I'm trying this hard to not talk about COVID. They were talking about what an abrasive group of people, what an unlikable group of people. And one thing I didn't, there was a lot of coverage talking about, them getting knocked out, and people were disappointed, or people were ecstatic because nobody likes them. And the one thing nobody talked about is, I remember there was a thing several years ago, and I don't remember who they were playing, and they were blowing out the other team, it is what it is. As long as the other team is going to, keep fielding players on the player, you're going to keep playing to the best of your ability. I understand that, and that's fine. But they were like blowing this other women's soccer team out. Just blowing them out. And it wasn't like, they scored another goal. They were scoring a goal and then like high-fiving, just really being just bitches about it. Rubbing it in their faces. Y'all remember that? Just rubbing it in their faces like, ha! They were celebrating like they just tied the score with overtime to go. And they're celebrating. They were blowing this other poor team out. What an obnoxious group. And then they get knocked out, and they're over there like making excuses. Well, we just didn't, no. I wish the team that blew them out would have been like up in their faces like, yeah. That team that they did that to, they should have been spectators and like run out on the field. I'm trying hard to talk about something not COVID. Working hard at it. I saw something ridiculous on TV. One of the things, we're inundated with these stories that are so obviously bullshit, Like, you're getting the story over and over, and I'm going somewhere besides COVID with this. I just have to find a way to get into it. the same story. I am a doctor, and I'm in the emergency room, and I had a patient the other day that didn't believe in getting the vaccine. They were a COVID denier. And right before they died on the ventilator, they told me somehow, even though they were on the ventilator, they begged me for the vaccine, and I had to tell them, I'm sorry. But it's too late. And then they died. And the exact same story. And you're sitting there reading this. It's like, I ain't got to have video proof. That story is bullshit. And they're all telling the same story. But this is totally believable. We're just surrounded by people telling these stories and they act like it's real. We're supposed to think that it's real. I'm going to get sidetracked here for just a minute. Then I'll get back on track. If anybody, you like me, you watch Korean dramas, because you got to have some entertainment once in a while to distract. I'm on episode 2. I just started watching one called something like The Demon Judge. And no, it's not like a satanic thing. And the setting is really interesting. I'm looking forward to see where the show goes. I'm going to be brief. I know y'all are sitting there going, I don't care about this. But the setting is interesting because, of course, it's in Korea. And it's in a near future dystopia. You see, the economy has been destroyed because of a virus. And now the corporations are basically open about running the government. You have this whole corporate government thing that's lockstep. Sound familiar? And the people have lost all faith in the judicial system. And so they decide, well, they got to get people buying back into the system. So they start doing court cases on a reality show. And they have the judges up there and the people are voting on their phones, guilty or not guilty. Like I said, I've only been through 2 episodes, but it seems really interesting. So if that's your thing, you might want to check it out. Hopefully it won't turn out crappy, but so far it's looking really good. But anyway, okay, now I'm going to reel it back in. But we have this constant same BS stories, and people just tell these lying stories. I saw a deal the other day. I just finished watching K-drama and I flipped it back over to American TV so I'd be on the channel so I could catch the local weather in the morning. I just keep it muted through all the COVID coverage. And, you know, I get it prepped there. And so I flip over. It's fairly late. So, of course, the late night quote unquote comedians are on, who I swear these people, they must be having college interns write their material. It's so shitty. This is supposed to be funny. Anyway, they had a stand-up comedian on here. This brown woman was on here doing a stand-up routine. So I've given it a minute. Maybe this will be something funny. Maybe this will be a chuckle before I go to bed. And instead, I got treated to this bullshit story. I mean, it was just so ridiculous. This woman, she says, it's so tough. It's so tough being Mexican now. I had no clue. I had no clue she was from Mexico. But I don't think she was. I think she just meant, you know, that's how she identifies or whatever. That's better than saying Latinx or whatever the hell that means. But she says, it's so tough being Mexican now. She says, I flew into the airport in Ohio. I'm not stealing her material, by the way. Don't copyright me here. I'm just relaying the story. She says, she flew in the airport and she wanted to catch a taxi. And she found a white taxi driver at the airport right there. You knew the story from here forth was going to be bullshit. She found a white taxi driver at the airport. Then she says she tried to get this taxi driver to give her a ride. And the taxi driver, she said, tells her, I don't give rides to wetbacks. And then he sped away. Now, I'm not sure if he was already sitting in the car and he yelled this out the window. Well, no, I am sure because I know the story is a lie. It's so stupid. He tells her this and then speeds away because I guess he didn't want any more taxi fares. The one white taxi driver at the airport didn't want any more fares, didn't want to make any more money that day. So he sped away. And as he sped away, he had all of these crosses and bumper stickers about Jesus all over the back of his taxi. Because these white Christian conservatives are so stupid and they run away after they call you a wetback. I have no idea how he knew she was a Mexican. My first impression, I thought she was probably from like India or something. I mean, how do you know? But he knew, and he called her a name and then sped away so she could see the crosses and picture and bumper stickers all about Jesus on the back of this taxi driven by the one white taxi driver in the whole state of Ohio at the airport. This is such a bullshit story. It is so stupid. And yet you're supposed to, and the people in the audience are sitting there going, oh, ha, ha, ha. What? Oh, the punchline. I wouldn't be fair if I didn't share the punchline of the joke. She says, it makes no sense because Mexicans love Jesus more than anybody. That was the punchline. You can start laughing now. But it's just that you're inundated. They give you something that is just an obvious bullshit story. I can imagine back in the day when trolls were allowed to be on the internet, on Twitter, somebody trying to share this story and all of the replies calling it out as bullshit. How dare you call my story, my heartfelt story, bullshit, because it's obviously bullshit. That's why cancel culture has to exist. It has to exist so that people won't point out their bullshit. Like if you don't have people pointing out that this story is nonsensical, nobody's going to know that it's nonsensical. We get this crap all the time. He was on the ventilator and he didn't believe in the COVID. And now look at him. He's dead. Dead. He begged for the vaccine. See, you should go take it too. Wow. All these stories happen to have the same punchline at the end. Go and take the shot. It's like we're just constantly inundated with this stuff that's so obviously stupid and not true. And we're just supposed to believe it. You're supposed to take it at face value. Go with it. Don't question it. How dare you? Don't you dare. Look, I get we're going to be lied to. But damn it, make it an entertaining lie. Make it something that, like, you know, you have to look at and be like, well, I don't know. You know, that could be true. Don't make it some obvious crap. And don't have, like, 500 other people on the internet telling the exact same story as though they too saw this thing happening. See, I got all these people regretting it, dying on the ventilator, begging for the vaccine and saying they wish they had taken it. That's not believable. We need a better line of bullshit. This is the tier. This is what we get now. It's very disappointing, to be honest. Comedy. Comedy is something that's really suffered. This, we're just all over the place today. This is how hard I'm working to stay away from talking about COVID. Comedy. I miss comedy. I miss things being funny. We used to be able to have fun. joking about each other, joking about ourselves. Comedy used to be a real thing. And now everything has been, it's like how they broke the Google search algorithm, all these search engines, basically the algorithms are broke because they restricted and didn't allow them to come up with this and didn't allow it to come up with this. And they tried to make them politically correct until they broke it. They did the same thing with comedy. See, comedy has always been something you're supposed to be allowed to say, whatever, make fun of whoever. That's what made it comedy. It wouldn't be funny if there wasn't an element of truth in it. And whether you're poking fun, you know, at these truths, these uncomfortable truths that we all know are right, you know, whether we're doing that at ourselves or at others, it's not supposed to matter because it's comedy. People won't laugh if it's just some bullshit that's not true. It's like the unfunny joke I just relayed just a moment ago. You know, that's not funny because it's obviously bullshit. For something to be funny, there's got to be an element of truth in it. That's what makes it funny. And whether you're telling that joke about yourself or other people, it doesn't matter. If there's an element of truth in it, it's going to come off as funny, presented in a humorous manner. But we don't have comedy anymore. They broke comedy because everything has to fit in the box. The SJW box of political correctness, which is humor-free. It doesn't fit. It's like trying to start a fire in water. It's impossible. Humor is not allowed. Humor is not allowed in this constricted environment where everything has to fall within the narrative of the humorless. This is the most humorless people in the world. Forget people that can't take a joke. They can't take the existence of a joke. I do. I miss coming. We try to keep a light tone here. I try to laugh at life. You know, you got to. Laughter is one of the antidotes. It's a vaccine. Take the vaccine of laughter. You have to be able to laugh about how absurd and stupid all of this is. And it's a weapon you can use because they want you to take it serious and it's so stupid on its face. You can laugh at it and you should laugh at it. Yes, the larger agenda they're pushing is very serious and we're not saying it's not serious and it's not to imply that it's not serious, but it's stupid. What they're promoting here is stupid and ridiculous. And since it's stupid and ridiculous, you could mock it. You should mock it. You should laugh at it because it is absurd. Don't take it seriously. You take it seriously in the sense that you realize where they're going with this. But when they say these stupid stories, you laugh at them and make fun of them. You got to have some humor. I'm big on humor. I like laughing. I don't take myself. You know, I appreciate the kind words from you, the listeners. And it's always uncomfortable for me. And I'm not saying, you know, don't do that anymore. I'm just saying it's always uncomfortable for me. When somebody says, man, you know, wow, you know, your show was really great. I appreciate those words, but I don't take myself too seriously. A lot of times I'll reply with something kind of flippant. And I don't mean to, you know, be just like blowing off what you say when I do that. It's just, I don't understand. I take what I do seriously. I take this pursuit of truth that we do here on this show seriously, but I don't take myself seriously. I don't take myself seriously in the sense that I think I'm this big, important person and we're doing this. I'm just a guy. I don't think I'm any better than any of you. I have a very humble worldview, a very, very humble view, I should say, of myself and this. I laugh at myself. It's the stupid things I do sometimes. You got to try to take things in stride, I guess, you know. But I do. I miss humor. And I try to find something funny in a lot of the goings on world. A lot of things I find funny is people just like, you know, just doing the same stupid, crazy shit over and over again. It's amazing. You see people do stuff and fall for stuff and you're like, oh man, that's bad. But then like they come back and they're like telling you they fell for something, basically the same thing again and again. You're like, man, you don't get a clue. I don't know. It's funny. Just got to find some humor. Got to find some humor. Humor will keep you from just going insane. It is. It'll keep you from going insane. It's why we cover serious topics here. We do serious things on the show, but we do try to laugh. I do. I try to find something. Sometimes y'all probably don't even get it. We'll be talking about something. I just start laughing because it's so stupid. Yeah, laugh at it. It's absurd, but they want you to take it seriously. I do. I almost feel sorry for the anti-white race haters, you know, for these SJW people. That actually believe, I really almost feel sorry for them for having such a humorless life, not being able to like laugh and enjoy anything, to find something funny and just be able to relax and laugh about stuff. This is the most humorless bunch in the world. It must really suck to go through life like that. It must really suck to be like that, to be just constantly, I call them, I call them like the endlessly aggrieved, you know, the endlessly offended. There's no end to the, what they're offended about. They always just go through life looking for something to be offended about. What a miserable way to live. I said earlier, they always attach this note, they're haters. You know, people like this, they're a bunch of haters. And it's the opposite. It's the opposite. I'm a bunch of laughers here. We try to find some humor in some of this stuff. They are the humorless ones. They are the ones that are consumed by hate. And a lot of it is self-hatred, too. Because you do, you look at a lot of these social justice types, these anti-white, race-hating promoters, and they're white people. I know. Some of those white people have echoes on them. I get that. But, you know, you can't deny, look, there's a lot of white people that are part of that. Let's be real here. And if they hate white people, because it is, it's an anti-white race hate agenda, then that means they hate themselves. What a miserable way to go through life. The Bible instructs us, and I'm just doing this off the top of my head, that, you know, you can't, basically, you can't love God if you can't love other people. You know, there has to be, you can't hate everybody and then like love God because man was made in God's image. But the thing people leave out of that is you are people. I've said this before, but if you hate yourself, you can't love God. How are you going to love God, but you hate yourself? You got to get over that. You got to let that go. You got to give yourself a break and understand that you're a faulty person who's made mistakes, but you're trying to improve. These people, they hate themselves. If you're a white person and you're front and center promoting the anti-white race hate agenda, that means you hate yourself. It literally is a reflection of self-hatred because it's a contradiction that can't be resolved except by admitting that these people hate themselves. Now, I'm sure there's reasons for that, indoctrination, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, it remains unchanged that they are in a state of self-hatred. So they promote a self-destructive ideology. And it is self-destructive because it comes back on them. We did a story a couple of weeks ago in the Daily Nationalist about some, no doubt, big SJW person, but they got the tables turned on. They stepped on a landmine. And now they're called a racist and all that that goes along with it. You see, they think that somehow that isn't going to include them, that because they're white people, but because they're promoting the anti-white race hate agenda, that's never, they're going to get like, I don't know, like a pass. Like they got an exclude. No, here, wait, before you call me a racist, let me get out my phone here. See, I've got the certification. See, I'm one of you. No, you're not. It's not an anti-white race hate except for fill in the blank agenda. It is a blanket agenda. And you are going to be on the receiving end of it sooner or later, whether you promote this thing or you don't. I suppose thinking of it that way just makes sense, doesn't it? It makes sense that they're humorless. How can you have any sense of humor when you go through your life hating everybody around you, hating yourself, hating your people, hating everything that your people have created, hating your history, hating your heritage, hating your family, hating everybody? How are you going to laugh? How are you going to find humor if you just hate? It's an observation. Like I say, this isn't like the gay Republican, you know, Democrats are the real racists or whatever crap that they push. It's not what I'm saying. I'm just pointing out reality. I'm pointing out truth. They really are full of hate. A person full of hate can't laugh at anything. They hate themselves. What are they going to laugh at? Nothing's funny. And as a result, when they try to do it, they basically just do the same, I don't know, same stick, the same anti-white agenda, and then act like it's a joke or something. I don't know. Look, straight white men are stupid and evil. Punchline. Ho! Please clap. There's no humor there because they have no humor because they're only full of hate. Anyway, don't lose your humor, folks. Look, just because, I mean, you got to find something to enjoy in life. And it's hard. I get it. When you're aware that we're in the midst, we are in the process right now. This is not something that's going to happen someday. We are in the middle of societal collapse. I get that, you know, you don't know, the future's so uncertain. And it's not like you can plan ahead. I'll do this and start this business or go to this and get this degree and get this job. And then, you know, this many years down the road, I can do this and that. All that's gone because we don't know where we're going to be next year at this time. We are in the middle of a time of flux, a time of societal collapse. but keep your humor. It doesn't mean you don't take any of it seriously. You got to keep your sense of humor. You got to keep your sanity. If you're going to come out of the other side of this, you have to keep your sanity. You got to keep your mind straight. You got to keep it all together. Don't forget, they're the ones that are absurd. They're the ones that are crazy. They're the ones that are full of hate, not you. Don't let them project that on you. Keep your sense of humor. Find some joy in life. You know, continue to try to improve your life. Continue to try to make your life better. Continue to try to do a little better financially. Continue to try to do whatever you can. Yes, we know we're in the midst. This is an ongoing, right now, societal collapse. And the whole thing's going to come down on itself. And honestly, the sooner, probably the better, because their agenda is becoming more and more oppressive and more totalitarian. But still, life goes on. You're going to have to find some humor. You're going to have to find moments of lightheartedness. You can't let it get to you. That's what they want. They want to break you down psychologically. They want to break your spirit. I think of when we're told in the book of Acts, a bunch of the believers were thrown into prison. They're sitting in there singing hymns. I'm going to be sitting in there telling jokes. It didn't break them. The point there is, it didn't break them. If you lose your humor, you lose your light, you lose your ability to just, in the moment, enjoy life, then that's part of allowing them to break your spirit. It's part of allowing them to break you. You can't let them take that away from you. Don't let them take that away from you. We got to get into the Christian specific segment so we don't run too long today. You're going to enjoy it, no doubt. We'll see what we get off into for the Christian believers. And of course, as always, you don't have to be a Christian believer to listen in to the Christian specifics. And you're not banned. We're very welcoming here. So yeah, you know what to do. Get in there, fill those pews. Let's get into this week's sermon here at the Parish of the Patriots. So yeah, let's get right to it. Let's go ahead and flip open our Bibles. We're going to read several passages this week in the book of Proverbs. We're going to start with Proverbs 9. Let's do verses 1 through 12. Wisdom hath builded her house, and she hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish, and live. And go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he shall love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, and if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. And let's see, then let's skip back. Let's do Proverbs 4. We're going to do verses 1 through 11. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. And then finally, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 13. Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. So as you might have guessed, this week we're going to talk a little bit about the importance of wisdom. and understanding. We look around this world and wisdom is surely forsaken. It is easy. I will hear people, you know, sit and talk about these young people. And they say, these young people, you know, they have no wisdom. It's always been customary in times of old that the people look to the elders. They look to the older generations to expound wisdom as a source of wisdom. And that makes sense. The older somebody gets, they've had more life experience. It just makes, like I say, that's just common sense. They've lived through the more, they've gained more understanding. And yet, if the younger people are full of foolishness, is that not a condemnation of those of us who are older and failing to pass on wisdom? Wisdom doesn't just come from the ground. It doesn't just appear. As we've read in our verses today, it is something that is a lifelong pursuit. Just because somebody has some age does not mean they're automatically wise. There's not a magic time when, you have a birthday, and what did I get for my 50th birthday present? Oh, look, open the box. It's a box of wisdom. I'm wise now. I have understanding. Wisdom is a lifelong pursuit. Wisdom is something, this is why, as we read earlier in the Proverbs, it's given as an instruction to my children, an instruction to the younger generation. Seek wisdom. You see, you don't just, somebody that has spent their life chasing foolishness, when they get old, they're simply an old fool. Somebody that has spent their life believing everything they've been told by known liars are simply going to be older people who believe anything they're told by known liars. Somebody who's just gotten old while chasing foolishness is nothing more than an old fool and should be avoided. There's no source of wisdom. Wisdom is a lifelong pursuit. You gain understanding. As we read in the Proverbs, it's there. It's there to be had, but you have to make the effort. You see, it's not illustrated that wisdom's going to come out on the street and kidnap your dumb, foolish ass and drag you in the house and try to tell you, just force feed you wisdom. Wisdom says, my table's prepared. Come on in. But you have to pursue it. And it is a lifelong pursuit. And wisdom remains available. It's more concealed, it's camouflaged, if you would, but it remains. In times of old, when things were simpler, it was easier to find wisdom, is easier to prove. There wasn't all this distraction. It's like white noise. It's like if you're listening to a song and it's like, oh, I like this song. But then somebody recorded a bunch of white noise and they're playing that at the same time. But the song is still there. It's still being played, still at the same volume. We have all of this foolishness, all of this just junk information that is poured at us 24/7. We don't lack information, do we? Here in this clown world day and age, we do not lack. There's one thing we don't lack is information, but most of it is just total crap. It's garbage. It's like calling a bag of candy, quote unquote, food. It's just junk. It's just junk food. It's just garbage. You read it, you can turn on your computers and get online or whatever, and 99% of the information you're going to find is going to be garbage. What's the latest celebrity doing? Well, let's turn on TV. Surely that would be a source of wisdom. Well, it could be, but it is not. These nonstop reality shows, and we put these people, and then we're all going to see who hooks up with who, and they gin up all kinds of drama, and it's garbage. You're inundated with garbage, but wisdom is still to be had. But you got to look for it. You got to pursue it. You have to take an active role in setting your heart on it and trying to understand these things. Well, that sounds all well and good, but how do you go about that? What does that even look like? Well, we've already covered that here, and we back up and look again at Proverbs 9. And let's look at verse 6. Forsake the foolish and live. You see, if you go running around with fools, you're not going to find wisdom there. They're going to be taking you in the other direction. If you run around and chase and listen to fools, and understand this, there are very well-educated fools. In fact, I would say there's no shortage of them. I would say we are drowning in highly degreed fools. Forsake the fools. If you're running around listening to fools 24/7, you're not going to find wisdom there. You're just going to be running around being inundated with foolishness. Forsake them. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. If you seek understanding, don't run around listening to a bunch of fools, but instead seek understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. Getteth himself shame. And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. How much time do Christian believers spend arguing with those who are bound and determined not to believe? That really is highlighted here, isn't it? You see, if you rebuke a wise man, he'll say, "Oh wow, you've corrected my path. I didn't understand that, and you've given me a piece of understanding. Now I can correct my worldview. I can adjust my worldview, and I get a little closer to the truth." You see, if you're going to pursue the truth, if you're going to pursue wisdom and understanding in your life, you have to understand that you don't have it yet. That's why you're pursuing it, right? If you're pursuing wisdom, that means you're going to be constantly adjusting your worldview. You're going to be constantly going, "Oh wow, I was wrong about that," because you're trying to get something you don't have. And okay, you build this worldview, you build it, always liken it to we're putting a puzzle together with not all of the pieces, but once in a while, somebody will flip you a piece. Somebody will say, "Hey, that piece doesn't go there, it goes over here." And you look and you wait to see if it is correct. Make sure they're not misleading you. If you look and say, "Oh yeah, that piece does snap in there. Okay. That gives me a little clearer picture." You got to be open to shifting and changing your worldview. That doesn't mean you're weak and you don't believe in anything. It's just the opposite. It means you're seeking the truth. Now somebody says, "Oh, you're wrong." "Oh really? Why is that?" And they tell you, "But it's just a bunch of foolishness." Then you can disregard their words. But you have to be able to consider, and you have to be open to shifting and changing your worldview. That is going to happen. If you spend your life pursuing wisdom, you're going to be constantly basically shifting and adjusting your worldview to pursue truth. Again, this doesn't mean you believe everything somebody tells you. You have to weigh it and look at it and see if that is correct or not. But you have to be willing. You have to be willing. That's why, as we read in Ecclesiastes, better a poor but wise child than a foolish and old king who will no longer be admonished. He won't listen when somebody tells him, "Hey, you're wrong. Hey, look, you're incorrect on that. This is the true information." But he won't hear it because he's full of pride and arrogance. If you're full of pride and arrogance and you think you can't be wrong and you're not willing to adjust your worldview, you cannot seek wisdom. You cannot seek understanding. You see, you're taking in this information, you weigh it. If it's true, then you absorb it into your worldview. You reshift, what does that mean for this over here? And here you go. And yet, time and again, as we've just read, what do? Just the opposite of what's spelled out for us in the scripture, isn't it? We spend all our time arguing with some atheist spurg who has no intention of ever believing the truth. We spend this time like we're trying to save this asshole. Why? Why would you do that? You're trying to reprove with a scorner. They're scorners. And says, "Here, what do you do with them?" "Well, I'm offended because he's always mocking Christianity. God, let him go to hell." But you're sitting there, you waste your time trying to, let me open my Bible and explain this to you. And then you're shocked when they don't want to listen to you. It's a waste of time. And we're instructed specifically, don't waste your time. You're going to find wisdom wasting your time. Prove them not. If you rebuke a wise man, he'll take it in and understand it. If you rebuke a fool, he's just going to hate you. Have you ever sat there and talked to somebody that is just, so wrong, and they have no interest in being right? They just think they're right. They have no interest in gaining a better understanding. And they'll sit here and you sit there and listen to them just spew on and on some just stupid nonsense. And then at the end of all of that, you say, "Well, you're wrong. Here, let me spell it out for you." And when you're done, the fool doesn't sit there and go, "Man, thanks a lot. I really appreciate that." Now, does he? No, the fool sit there and be mad at you. He'll be angry at you. And the more right you are, the more correct you are, the more angry they're going to be. The more angry they're going to be at you. How dare you? We see this all the time, don't we? This is how everybody got banned from the internet, isn't it? They sit there and spew off this gibberish that their college professor told them, mistaking this for wisdom. And when you say, "Well, that's obviously wrong," look, and you spell it out for them. They what? They reduced calling you a racist, a hater. You're politically, you're some phobe or an ist. You know, you got to be a phobe or an ist. You can put whatever in the front of that. They won't hear. They want you banned. They demand you be banned and silenced and go away. Such is the way of the foolish. Such is the way of a scorner. They don't want to be corrected. And it's a waste of time to attempt to do so. Now, don't get me wrong. If you witness the fool or the scorner attempting to lead others astray, then it's fine to put that information out there, you know, to step in and speak the truth, because you're not doing it for the scorner. You're not doing it for the fool. You're doing it for this little crowd of people here that idiot's trying to lead off the cliff with him. So he has lots of company in his foolishness. Well, I'm not an idiot. Look, all these other people are idiots too. That's different. I'm talking about doing it for that person's sake. For that person's sake. Well, let me tell you why you're wrong. They're not going to appreciate it. Ever. You're wasting your time. Pursuing wisdom. And pursuing understanding requires that you're going to have to forego foolishness. And foolishness is often well disguised. It's often dressed up in the clothing of pleasure in this world. The world will tell you, oh, well, come over here. This will be pleasurable. But it's foolishness. It's a vanity, as it says in the scripture. It'd be a vanity. Meaningless. Something of without meaning. You're just wasting your time. It's emptiness. See, it can be tempting. They're going to try to tempt you to go off into their foolishness. You have to make a lifelong concerted effort to really set your heart on achieving wisdom and understanding. And where do you find it? It is in the Lord. Because the Lord is truth. If you're speaking truth, you're going to find wisdom. You're going to find understanding. And as we always point out, Jesus, when that was asked who he is, what's your name? Who are you? Way, truth, life. Center word. Truth. If you seek truth, you're going to get closer to him. If you get closer to him, you're going to find truth. You're going to find wisdom. You're going to find understanding. You're going to find all of these things. But it means you're going to have to forego what the world is offering you. The world's going to offer you all kinds of things, all kinds of things to distract you, get you further and further away from wisdom, from truth. And there's more distractions now than ever. We call it clown world. It's fool world. It's like the world has gone insane. They've gone mad. They've gotten drunk on the wine of their own foolishness. And we're seeing the results. These nations are led by wicked and corrupt rulers. But the people are so far from wisdom and understanding that it doesn't matter. When we look at these narratives, they feed us all the time. I mean, we cover these on this show. I talked last week, I believe it was, about sitting there and watching people in the media interview a quote-unquote expert, an expert. And they're all sitting around nodding their heads like they're serious people having a serious discussion about how everybody needs to get vaxxed. And in the very same segment, like within 20 seconds, they say, well, we're in a situation where the unvaxxed are infecting the vaxxed. It's sheer madness there, you know, to see these contradictions. But you see, the people are so far removed from wisdom and understanding that it doesn't even register. It doesn't even register anymore. They go after the children. They want to make sure children never even get started. I mean, we talk about all of this that's being directed at children now, and we say, well, it's because they're probably pedophiles, and that may be partially true. But what is the overarching theme here? They don't even want children, because as we read here in Proverbs, he's instructing the children, look, this is a lifelong pursuit. Look, do these things. Look, I'm getting you started with these words. Pursue wisdom. Pursue understanding. You won't regret it, because while everybody else is running around acting like a retard, chasing every kind of foolishness, every kind of false doctrine, things that observably just with the naked eye don't make any sense, you see, you'll be grounded. You'll understand. You won't be led off on the path of destruction that they are. You see, part of this agenda, part of why they keep focusing this on children is to make sure they never get started. You got to get started at some point if you make sure they never even take the step in the right direction, starting right off. It's all about keeping people from pursuing wisdom and understanding. And it's worked. Look at this world around us. Look at this world around us. If you spend your lifetime chasing the things of this world, you're not suddenly going to become wise. You're just going to be an old fool. Everybody is running around. We have these absurd narratives that are ridiculous on their face. Common sense will tell you that they make no sense what they're saying. They contradict themselves often, as we talked about earlier, you know, in the same line. Within a minute, they'll sit there and contradict themselves, and it's real easy to see. But yet, the people are so busy chasing foolishness, wandering around, listening to a white noise of nonsense, that they understand it not. When you gain a little bit of wisdom, and understand this, wisdom and understanding is not like, it doesn't come in a big box and you get it all at once. It's something that you go and pick up a little piece at a time, a little piece, and you add it, a little piece, and you pick it up and you put it in your bag, pick up your little bit of wisdom, and you accumulate it. You accumulate it over a lifetime. And as you pick it up, you recognize it. You will get better and better at recognizing it, as it is a lifelong pursuit. It's like if you're hunting for diamonds and you've spent your life hunting for diamonds, and you're walking along and you're looking in this area, you're looking around and you see a diamond and you pick it up and you recognize it. It's a diamond. It's a piece of diamond. It looks rough right now. It doesn't look like anything, but you understand that it's a diamond. And if you shape it and polish it, it's going to look like this beautiful thing. But you see, somebody that doesn't do that, they walk around and pick that up and go, huh, that's an ugly rock. And they pitch it. This is why you'll see a fool get a little tidbit of information, but they don't know what to do with it. And when they find it, they think they've really found something. They think they've got it. You'll see this in people who will sit there and say, the media lies to us all the time. You can't trust them. Fake news. And you're like, yes, yes. But then as soon as the media tells them something salacious about somebody, they'll believe it just like that. The same people that went around proclaiming fake news, fake media, don't believe anything they say. As soon as they say something scandalous, as soon as they tell them about somebody who's really bad, somebody's really scandalous, oh, some salacious, some juicy gossip about somebody, they jump up. They believe it because they don't know what to do with it. They had that little bit of truth, but they don't know what to do with it. They don't know they're supposed to put it in the bag because they got nothing in the damn bag. They've been using the bag to take a dump in. They've been crapping in the bag. They haven't been collecting wisdom. They've been using it as a toilet. Look, I got this porta potty. This is my bag. See, the person pursuing wisdom, picks up understanding, puts it in the bag, collect it. That way, when they get another little piece, they look at it and go, you know, that little piece by itself wouldn't mean anything to them, but they put it in the bag and added it to the other pieces they've picked up. Now they get it. They got a clearer understanding. The fool doesn't. The fool runs around and craps in his bag. So when he does actually, by happenstance, stumble upon a piece of wisdom and understanding, and he thinks, oh, boy, I know all about it. But he didn't know. If he throws it in the bag, it's just mixed in with the crap. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Dig diamonds out of your poop? No, they don't have any understanding. They didn't add it to anything because they haven't collected anything. Oh, the media, they just lie about everything. The media says you need to go get your vax, and this is a deadly virus, and look at this juicy piece of gossip about this person who's a bad person. I believe all of it. Must be true. I want to believe it's true, so it must be true. And they go wandering right off into their foolishness. I was thinking the other day about how fortunate those of us who've lived longer than the younger generations are, and as not to be looking down on the younger generations. I don't consider myself old, but I'm definitely not young anymore. And when I was growing up, we did have people. There was, you know, wisdom was looked upon in a positive light. Well, now it's openly scorned. We had access to people of wisdom to at least get us started, at least give us an idea, a primer, if you would. And now, where are the wise? Forget, as I kind of said opening up earlier, if you get tempted to look down, you sit there and say, look at these young people, they're idiots, they're all stupid, what are they doing? But we indict ourselves with our own words. Because it is the job of those who are older to get the younger people started on the path of wisdom. If it is the job of those who are older to set the way, to show the example to the younger generations, and the younger generations are completely failing at this. Who do we condemn? With our own words. We condemn ourselves with our own words, for we failed to give them instruction. I'm not saying that necessarily applies to you. We're talking in general terms here. But you cannot sit here and condemn the younger generation for being a bunch of fools and idiots if it's the responsibility of the older generations to give them instructions in wisdom. If the younger generation is chasing after hedonism, debauchery, and every kind of foolishness, then more than likely they're following the example that's been laid down for them. Of course, we talk a lot about societal collapse. We're headed towards a collapse. We're in a collapse now. What's the end result going to actually look like? And somebody might wonder, how can you be so sure? Because what was once our societies have plunged so far off into foolishness that it's inevitable. Foolishness leads to destruction. Time and again, this is part of the natural order, part of the system that God has established. Foolishness will lead to destruction. Like I said earlier, we call this clown world, but it's really fool world. There's so much foolishness, out and out just foolishness in this world, and it will lead to destruction. This doesn't take prophecy. Is it like some sort of, God told me? No, you just understand. We live in a society now that is drunk on foolishness. In fact, the more foolish something is, the more is heralded. They call foolishness wisdom. They call wisdom foolishness. They call right wrong. They call light dark. Everything is backwards. So if everything is backwards, it just makes sense that they call foolishness wisdom. Look at the people. They tell us their examples. Look at the people they say, they herald. Oh, look, this guy's really smart. This guy is really wise. And you listen to this person's words. If you've pursued wisdom, if you've pursued truth your whole life, you listen to this person, you say, this guy's an idiot. This guy is a fool. Foolishness always leads to destruction. If you worked in a factory and you see that you've got a big chopping machine there, and you look at this guy and like the chopping machine gets jammed from time to time, and you have to turn the machine off, and you have to get this stick and you have to dig this stuff out. But you got a guy you work with, and you look at this guy and he's laughing. He's laughing at you. He says, that takes too long. Look, you just get up here and put your foot in there and start stomping on it. It'll unplug. And you're watching that guy. What are you thinking? At some point, his dumb ass is going to get sucked in the chopping machine. He's going to get all chopped up. This is not a prophecy. When it happens, you're like, oh, it's a prophet. No, you just know he's a fool. He's a fool. If you keep sticking your foot in that chopping machine, at some point in time, you're going to get chopped. Foolishness always leads to destruction. And now we have a society, the entire West, not just the U.S., the entire West now is drunk on foolishness. There are societies still left in this world that are not chasing foolishness. Those societies will stand, but the society just drunk on foolishness has no future. Has no future. That's why it makes sense when we say this trajectory we are on is unsustainable. You look at the last 10 years and the way things just from say 2011, how things were by and large in 2011 to where things are now. There's this huge trajectory, this huge shift in trajectory. Now, if you kept on that same trajectory in another 10 years, is that realistic? Where would we be? It's not sustainable. It's not going to happen because it's a trajectory of foolishness. It's pursuing foolishness, and it is going to lead to destruction. It's not sustainable because foolishness is never sustainable. Foolishness is always based on lies, and wisdom will always be based on truth. Seek wisdom. Seek understanding. If you're a younger person and you don't have anybody as an example, although if you listen to this show, we try to find wisdom and truth. Simply look for truth. If you find truth, wisdom's right there with them. And it's hard. It's going to be hard. It is the path that takes a continual lifelong work. But the thing is, the more of it you get, the more of it you want. it just becomes something, and it's hard to explain. Because you see, the world, the foolishness of the world will try to distract you. This is fun. This will feel good. Try this. Do that. Wisdom is something wisdom and truth is something you set your heart on. But the more of it you get, the more of it you want. It becomes almost an obsession to figure out the truth, and it becomes automatic for you. It might be hard for you if you're young and you're just getting started. It's like, I want to live my life pursuing wisdom and truth. And it's going to be hard at first, but it becomes a habit. It becomes a habit when you see something to be like skeptical, be like, well, what's the truth of this? And to be looking. And again, as we said earlier, you got to be ready. Because you're going, it's something you pick up, and since you pick up another piece, you got to start adjusting everything else to make it fit. It's like when you're doing a crossword puzzle and you think you're doing pretty good, you know, and you're filling these out and you're looking and you got like three words left and you look at the next clue for your crossword puzzle and you're like, that's the answer. I know that's the right word. 100%. I know that's the correct word. Only, yep, right amount of letters. Yep, everything except. You're on number 6 across, and you know that's the correct answer, but it won't fit. Why? Because number 4 down puts the wrong letter in that place. So that means when you fill out number 6 across, you got to go back up now and erase number 4 down, because you know for a fact number 6 is correct. Number 6 across is correct, so now that means you've got to back up and re-examine number 4 down. And it's hard because you thought you did number 4 down. You're like, whew, yeah, good. I'm making progress. I did number 4 down. It's this word here. It fits. But now you hit number 6 across and you're like, I know number 6 for a fact. Number 6 across is correct. But it won't fit in there because number 4 down has the wrong letter in the box. Does anybody still do crosswords? I don't know. I may just be talking to myself. The down doesn't match. So you have to go back and redo that one. You have to readjust it. That's what it's like. Oh, now I got to readjust this and figure this out because that doesn't fit. You're going to be constantly doing that. Don't get discouraged. That's the exercise. That's how it works. That's everything is working properly. Doesn't mean you're stupid. You're stupid is you just misspell your crossword and don't worry about it. You I just pretend that that's right. That's stupid. You go back and you're going to be constantly doing that. But at the end of the day, your crossword puzzle will make sense and everything will fit. That's the whole goal here. But that's how it works. You're going to be constantly having to go back and, okay, well, this must have been wrong because it won't fit with this that I know for a fact is correct. So you're going to be shifting and changing. That's the way it works. Don't get discouraged. That is encouragement and it is a lifelong pursuit. As we wrap up, wisdom and truth are most certainly worth pursuing. Over time, you will gain a wealth. I don't necessarily mean a physical wealth, although it could turn up partially as a manifestation of that as well. But you will prosper spiritually, mentally, especially now, as the world has gone insane. I've said that one of the purposes this show is to keep people from losing their shit, you know, from going crazy. The more wisdom and understanding you have, it's going to help keep you from going crazy, because the world has gone mad. The world is drunk on foolishness. It's chasing after. It's insane. It's not just you. We all know it is insane. Wisdom and truth will protect you. As it says in the Bible, you gird your loins with it. It will hold you together while everybody else is falling apart. While the world is drunk on madness and folly and barreling towards destruction, this will keep you anchored. It will keep you grounded. It will keep you sane. And while it certainly isn't an easy pursuit, it's most definitely a worthwhile pursuit. And as a reward, as you get older and you collect more of it, then you will have it to share with the younger people that you'll see coming up. Somebody has to get them started. Somebody has to impart it upon them. Somebody has to prime the pump, as it were, and give them the example and share it. You see, you just hide the wisdom in your bag. See, at some point in time, it is your duty to start sharing, giving some of that wisdom back out of your bag. You keep it but you show it to them and then they have it too. You're able to keep, you don't lose it. You show it, you share it, and they can start on their own path of wisdom. It's an amazing thing. Imagine being able to pick up gold, I talked earlier about picking up diamonds. Imagine being able to pick up diamonds and then you can share the diamonds with other people and they have a diamond too, but you don't lose yours. You give it to them and it's like it replicates and you put your diamond back in your bag, but now they have an identical diamond that they took and they can put it in their bag. It's an amazing and wonderful thing that you can share and you don't lose anything. And you can import them on a path of righteousness and a path of wisdom. We got to get on out of here, folks. Thank you again, all of you, for stopping by, tuning in to this week's show. Always appreciate it. Thank you once again for those of you. Don't be shy. Pay those tithes. That is very much appreciated. We're going to get on out of here. And don't forget, you can catch me on Fridays with Sir Longshanks for the Daily Nationalist. It's usually a fairly light discussion. It's always a lot of fun. You're missing out. If you don't pick it up. It's a short show. It's like 30 minutes. So it doesn't take a lot of time. It is always a fun discussion. And as always, we'll be back right here next Tuesday for the Parish of the Patriots.